Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Creating Cultures of Thinking. The Eight Forces We Must Master to Truly Transform Our Schools is a professional education book by Ron Richart. A researcher associated with Harvard Project Zero, the book belongs to the fields of instructional practice, school reform, and learning culture, with particular attention to how classrooms can develop students as thoughtful, independent, and collaborative learners, rather than treating curriculum, standards, or assessment as the primary levers of transformation. Richart argues that the everyday culture of a classroom determines whether deep learning can take root. His central concern is enculturation, the process by which thinking becomes valued, visible, and routinely promoted in daily school life. The book is designed for teachers, administrators, instructional coaches, and education leaders who want a research-informed but practical framework for changing classroom and school norms. Its distinctive contribution is the Eight Cultural Forces framework, which translates the broad idea of culture into concrete elements educators can examine and deliberately shape. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, school transformation depends on culture more than curriculum alone. A central argument of the book is that curriculum reform cannot by itself create deep learning. Richart does not dismiss curriculum, but he treats it as something enacted within a social and intellectual environment. If the classroom culture rewards quick answers, compliance, and task completion, even a strong curriculum may produce shallow learning. If the culture values questioning, evidence, reflection, and dialogue, ordinary lessons can become opportunities for richer thinking. This distinction matters because many school reforms focus on programs, materials, or standards while leaving daily norms untouched. Richart redirects attention to the implicit messages students receive about what counts as learning. Do students believe that thinking is expected from everyone, or only from a few high performers? Do they see mistakes as signs of failure or as part of inquiry? Do they experience learning as performance for the teacher or as participation in a community of understanding? By framing transformation as enculturation, the book asks educators to examine the repeated practices that shape student identity. The goal is not simply to teach thinking skills as isolated strategies, but to make thinking a normal part of how the group works. The Eight Cultural Forces Make Classroom Culture Observable and Adjustable. Richart identifies eight cultural forces that operate in every learning group language, time, environment, opportunities, routines, modeling, interactions, and expectations. The usefulness of this framework is that it converts culture from a vague atmosphere into a set of observable conditions. Language includes the words teachers use to name intellectual moves, such as reasoning, wondering, connecting, and revising. Time concerns whether students are actually given space to think, not merely asked to respond quickly. But environment refers to physical and symbolic cues, including displays of student thinking rather than only finished products. Opportunities involve the quality of tasks students receive and whether those tasks require interpretation, explanation, and inquiry. Routines establish repeated patterns that make thinking practices familiar and transferable. Modeling asks whether adults demonstrate curiosity, uncertainty, and disciplined reasoning. Interactions concern how students and teachers listen, challenge, and build on one another. Expectations shape what learners believe is normal and possible in the classroom. The framework is practical because it supports diagnosis. A teacher does not have to change everything at once. The eight forces offer entry points for noticing which parts of classroom life currently support thinking and which unintentionally suppress it. Thirdly, visible thinking routines turn intellectual habits into shared practice. The book builds on Richart and Project Zero work around making thinking visible. A major implication is that thinking becomes stronger when it is externalized, named, documented, and revisited. Students often experience school thinking as invisible mental work judged only through final answers. Richart instead emphasizes routines and structures that help learners show how they observe, interpret, question, justify, and connect ideas. These routines are not presented as decorative activities. Their value comes from repeated use in meaningful contexts. When a routine becomes familiar, students can spend less energy figuring out the procedure and more energy engaging in the intellectual move it supports. Visible thinking also changes the role of documentation. Classroom walls, charts, notes, and displays can become records of developing understanding rather than exhibitions of polished completion. This gives students evidence that learning is provisional and cumulative. The reasoning behind this approach is developmental as well as instructional. If students repeatedly see their own and others' thinking made public, they gain a vocabulary for metacognition and a clearer sense of what thoughtful work involves. The classroom becomes a place where processes such as wondering, revising, and explaining are not hidden behind correct answers. Fourthly, Teacher modeling and interaction patterns define what students learn to value. Richard places significant responsibility on the conduct of adults in the learning environment. In a culture of thinking, teachers do more than assign cognitively demanding work. They model the intellectual dispositions they want students to develop. This includes being willing to wonder aloud, consider alternative views, ask genuine questions, connect ideas, and revise interpretations. Such modeling matters because students learn norms from what adults repeatedly do, not only from what they announce as objectives. The book also treats interactions as a cultural force because the quality of dialogue determines whether thinking is expanded or narrowed. If classroom talk is dominated by teacher evaluation, students may focus on guessing the expected answer. If talk includes listening, probing, evidence, and peer-to-peer exchange, students are more likely to treat ideas as objects for shared examination. Expectations are closely connected to this point. High expectations in Richard framework are not limited to harder work or faster performance. They include the belief that every student can contribute to collective thinking. This changes participation from recitation to intellectual membership. The teacher remains important, but authority is used to cultivate a community where students learn to value reasoning, curiosity, and understanding. Lastly, the framework requires sustained professional inquiry rather than quick implementation. Although the book is practical, it does not present culture building as a simple checklist. The eight forces interact with one another, and changing them requires sustained attention. For example, a teacher may introduce thinking routines, but their impact will be limited if students are not given enough time, if expectations still privilege speed, or if interactions discourage risk-taking. This makes implementation context sensitive. A school cannot merely adopt the vocabulary of cultures of thinking and assume that classroom norms have changed. Educators need to observe practice, gather evidence, reflect with colleagues, and adjust routines, tasks, spaces, and language over time. This is one reason the book is relevant to school leaders as well as individual teachers. Leadership can protect time for professional learning, support shared inquiry, and align school-wide expectations with classroom practice. The limitation is that the framework demands patience and coherence. Readers looking for a scripted program may find it less direct than a step-by-step manual. Its strength, however, is that it treats teachers as designers of learning culture. Rather than prescribing identical practices for every classroom, it offers a disciplined way to examine how local habits, structures, and relationships shape student thinking. In conclusion, creating cultures of thinking is best suited for K-12 teachers, school leaders, instructional coaches, teacher educators, and professional learning communities that want to move beyond surface-level engagement toward deeper intellectual work. Its practical benefit is that it gives educators a concrete lens for examining everyday classroom life. Instead of asking only whether a lesson was delivered or whether students completed an assignment, readers learn to ask how language, time, space, routines, interactions, and expectations are shaping the kind of learner students are becoming. Its intellectual benefit is a more precise understanding of school culture as something produced through repeated choices rather than as an abstract climate. The book stands out from many education reform titles because it does not rely mainly on policy critique, inspirational rhetoric, or isolated teaching strategies. It offers a coherent framework grounded in Project Zero research and connected to the practical realities of classrooms. Compared with books focused only on critical thinking techniques, it argues that thinking dispositions develop through a surrounding culture, not through occasional activities alone. Readers who want an instant program may need additional implementation support, but those willing to engage in reflective practice will find a durable model for redesigning learning environments around visible, valued, and actively promoted thinking. If you would like to support Ron Richard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.